I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Prepare at last his return. Your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll see you in the end, my friend.
Hello and welcome to Tribulation Farce, the Left Behind podcast. I am your co-host, Tim. And joining me, as always, is Jennifer.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, what's up? This is chapter 10 and 11 of book 3, Nikolai.
Man, I was so psyched reading these chapters.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a peek behind the curtain a little bit. It's a little slow in work today. So, just, you know, I'll get ahead of this. I'll read the chapter and, like, make the notes, but yep. Maybe we won't record today.
For legal purposes, we're recording this in April 18th, 2021.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Jennifer. This is in the top four most memorable things this series.
Well, because the things that were happening, I was like, oh, I feel like Tim has talked about this. Yeah. My plan was maybe not to necessarily record today until I read the chapters and I'm like, we've got to talk about this. Because we don't talk about it with each other unless we're recording, really. And these chapters were now this is the life.
And since we're so,
this is the Left Behind I love.
This is literally the Left Behind I love. Because I think that
it's like actually interesting.
Yeah, and I think
I mean it's still stupid in many, many ways.
Well, I mean,
the Tim the apologizer
evangelist.
The evangelist. Evangelist is logged on.
Yeah, I mean this is the series going forward, right? This is the first time the books have been what they are. Right? Like, and this is what they're going to be. Meaning, a motherfucker puts a gun to your fucking head and is like, tell me who Jesus Daddy was, who his granddaddy was.
I was losing it at that part.
Oh, so good.
Can I?
Dude, the how many languages does he speak part?
Oh my God.
That's going to be, like, I guarantee goddamn to you, like, one of my final thoughts as I die. Right? Like, if we get hit by a car and we're flipping in the air, it's going to be like, it's going to be the guy going, wow.
He's more than bilingual.
As the guy's, like, cocking the gun back. But, yeah, no, like, this is when we're getting into, like, the skullduggery.
Yeah.
This is, like, again, they just have a good guy being like, yeah, I killed three people this week.
Oh, my God. So crazy.
It's good. It's good.
Can I ask you a question right now? Mm. From your viewpoint as a person who remembers more of Left Behind than I do, which series is better? And I'm talking overall series. Left Behind or Twilight?
Overall?
Yeah, overall.
Oh, don't do this to
overall.
Me.
Yep. And we'll give you grace because we know you've spent a long time, but you know it's been a long time since you've read Twilight as well.
Right. And I watch the Twilight movies and they're bad. I'm gonna go with Left Behind because
it's better.
But Twilight, I gotta give it up for getting in, getting out. I just can't really fuck.
It's not as many books, right. For sure.
You know, I love my boy who is a Confederate soldier turned empath. But you know, besides
written by Mormon.
Yeah. I mean,
like in that way, like okay, they're both. Supernatural series written by very, like, religious people from a specific religious viewpoint.
Yeah.
And there's romance in them. Ooh, there's danger. there's skullduggery in both.
There's magic.
Yeah. you know, it's you could be killed by a supernatural creature at, like, any moment.
Absolutely. First, thank you so much for joining us, and as we arrive, as you know, we say, "Oh, we're so back," yada yada yada. But like this, really, we've said it before. But like, this is the sort of path for the books going forward.
And again,
is how do we get from point A to point B without getting murdered? There's a lot of that.
Which rocks. Like, that is inherently, like, for the most part, like, an interesting thing to read about. Like, there are for real stakes happening. You know what I mean?
Unironically, in breaking kayfabe a little bit, even though not really, like, I do sort of think that it has legitimate, interesting ideas. If you approach it from, how does someone writing these books as religious texts deal with people experiencing the supernatural, the miraculous, and just being like, well, it seems kind of fucking dumb to just, like, go do what a Bible verse said, right? Or, like, I trust God, but there's the old joke, right? It's like, every night I pray to God, get down on my hands and knees, that I could win the lottery.
Yeah.
After several weeks, God finally reached out to me after several weeks of losing, and God says, at least meet me halfway. Buy a ticket.
Oh, my God. I'd forgotten that.
And that's where...
Buck, like, generally makes pretty much that point.
Yeah, exactly.
In it, which is... it's all so interesting.
And I think a worse series, I'll say it, a more cowardly author would be like, I feel so full of my Lord right now. I'm on the mud ground, and I know exactly what to do.
Right.
And, like, that technically does happen, but Buck's like, oh, God, this sucks. This is Jesus Christ. Why can't you just tell me what to do exactly?
It's very interesting the way they're like, oh, yeah, you want messages... You want a message from God? Okay, good luck with these riddles. That's what you have to deal with.
Literally. And on top of it, if you approach it too, it's just magic. Like, them being filled with the Spirit. It's like, hell yeah.
There was, like, very much some, like, Christian shit as, like, magic spells going on in these chapters.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
it made me feel like, is this the world of D&D where it's like, okay, you have allegiance to this God. Yeah. It gives you this power. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like... There was some fucking bard spells going on. Like,
just give me wheel or woe for something, Christ Almighty. Chapter 10. Let's get into it.
Let's freaking get into it. So where we had left before was that Buck was like, okay, I talked to the witnesses and they were just like saying crazy shit. So I'm gonna go back when it's dark at midnight. So maybe they'll
which
like,
they
talk
didn't
to
tell him
more.
To do. He's like, I'm just gonna do it.
Yeah, which is like again, this gets to the root of kind of. The crux of these chapters, which is like, how do I know what to do from God? Like, I feel like that is the theme of these chapters.
All of chapter 10 is just Buck.
It's just Buck. And actually, and spoiler, these are pretty much just Buck chapters.
We go to Ray one time, who's just like...
Two tiny times.
Bitch, chill. Then besides
it's just Ray for talking on the phone twice. Mm-hmm. It's all it is. But this chapter, only Buck. It's pretty good.
Right, and I think, like, they earn some of the parts being good by how bad the other parts are.
Yeah, like I'm so grateful this is happening and not other stupid shit that I'm like, this fucking rocks.
And this is sort of a situation that we get into in the hit podcast Naruto Revuto is they right now we're in, like, the climax where they're really showing off, like, their big bad and yada, yada, yada. And
I'm at Naruto. Okay, I was like, we are not in the climax of this book. We are about halfway through. Okay, that makes sense.
But they keep doing too much filler, too much recap, and too many flashbacks.
So, like, the momentum is being dragged down.
Absolutely. And, like, they finally did a flashback for this bad guy that, like, justified some of his character traits. And I'm like, sorry, I don't give a fuck anymore. Because we've sat through so many other, like, canon episodes that were boring and bad, and the writing's bad. So if we didn't have so many parts where Buck was like, you know what, I got two pair of shirt in my back, I don't need an alarm to wake up. You know what I'm saying?
Like, we get it. Shut up.
We get it. Shut up. It would be a little bit better, but, you know, they did it so that for right now, like, I can't believe this motherfucker who doesn't even need to set an alarm, right? Who knows, who can get out of the airport the fastest of anyone else on the planet.
Right. So, yeah, so Buck is heading out again for the second time today to meet up with the witnesses at the Wailing Wall, and this is the first of many, like, premonitions and feelings that happen, but he has a feeling, like... You know, I'm going to bring my bag with me from the hotel, just in case.
I don't know why, but...
Kind of has a bad feeling.
I'm just going to do it.
It does feel like in this world, and since Buck is such a, like, I only need one bag, like, just bring your bag with you all the time.
Exactly.
Like, come on. Like, if you're a real smart guy, you would just automatically do that. But yeah, whatever. So as Buck is traveling to the Wailing Wall, he has this thought, which I love because it's just reminding you of where we're going in the future.
Yeah.
Bruce had taught Buck that one day Carpathia would sit in that new temple. Oh, sorry. Let me back up. Mm. Buck is in the taxi and he sees a temple, and that's why he's thinking about this. Bruce had taught Buck that one day Carpathia would sit in that new temple and proclaim himself God. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think we're moving towards that.
I remember that part pretty clearly.
That's like halfway through, right? That's the 3.5 year mark?
No.
It's not?
No, that's quite a ways through. Oh. That's towards the end.
I wanted it to be now. I'm ready for it.
No, he comes back to life.
Oh, okay, okay.
Indwelling, if you will.
Yeah, okay, the book that's called The Indwelling.
Yeah. That's about 3.5 years, but this is later. This is later.
Okay.
It might be like 4 years.
Because I just remember there was something about an altar and blah, blah, blah.
He sacrifices a pig on the altar there.
And that's when this happens where he proclaims himself God, or is that halfway through?
That's a good point. I'm not sure. Maybe you're right when he is in 12.
I don't remember. I mean, this was so, like, literally.
I'm thinking about that pig. I'll tell you what.
I'm thinking about that pig.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, when I read this, it was truly, like, over 20 years ago, so like who knows? I don't really remember, and what memories I have are probably like weird morph things you've told me versus like random shit I've read. Like, who knows?
And like I've said, like the fact that I remember something is more proof that it doesn't happen, because the idea that my memory would remain intact
right,
is so
weird. Right. But you're kind of right, because I remember you talking about the border crossing stuff, and yeah. We're getting into that.
Yeah, it reminds me of a hit scene in the hit show. Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So, Buck, he goes back to the Wailing Wall, and he's like, okay, I'm going to approach the witnesses to try to, like, talk with them. And he gets, like, pretty frustrated with them immediately because they just, like, keep saying Bible verses at him. And when he interrupts them, I don't remember which one says, "You would dare interrupt the servants of the Most High God?"
I mean,
I'm going to start using that one. dare interrupt the servant of the Most High God? I'm trying to talk about wrestling. I'm trying to talk about something I'm interested in.
Jennifer, on 18 full minutes of why Hangman Adam Page is good.
Exactly.
You interrupt me?
After a full-strength Adderall. Like, good luck, buddy.
I will
shoot laser beams out of my eyes and kill you if you try to stop me from talking about this.
You interrupt me? I barely just got begun of saying my good.
You weakling. So the ways that the witnesses, like, they literally either only talk in Bible verses, or they'll say something that's like, okay, I guess we don't have a Bible verse for this, so we just got to have them saying something else, because they're like, "You must first speak with a loved one," and like immediately his cell phone.
That part was funny because like Buck walks up like, "Hey," because no one's around, and at first there's
because it's midnight. This is like the middle of the. I mean, I guess midnight's not the middle of the night. You know what I mean? It's dark. I mean. It's the middle of the night.
I'm not even in bed at midnight most times. I'm crazy.
Yeah, same.
But like, there's no one around except for some sailors. And the sailors are like, "Oh my god, it's those motherfuckers!" Shut up.
I like that they specified they were sailors. Like, sailors from where? What are you talking about? Because I know it's not correct, but I was thinking like Navy boys in my head.
I was thinking the Navy
with like
boys.
Little sailor hats and like bibs and stuff.
Absolutely. And then Buck just waits for them to leave, and then walks over. And is like, "So, hey, what's up?" And like, "Answer your phone, motherfucker."
And he's like, "Oh, my phone is ringing right now. Wow!" Cool. And it's Chloe on the phone, and she's like, "Hey, I've just got a really bad feeling, and I don't think you should stay at the hotel or Jerusalem at all."
Yeah.
And Buck's like, "Okay, dear, but I'm too busy to talk right
now." He was a little glib, a little short here, and He just always treats Chloe like, "Oh my god, you're so annoying."
He does. It's so frustrating.
I'm like, "Bro, you need to tell her you're on some crazy shit right now. And like, why do you have to be so curt? Why can't you just be like, 'Honey, I'm talking to the two witnesses. I know.'"
Right, just say that. Like, it's fine.
Do you want to say hi?
You think someone's like tapping your fucking cell phone? Like, I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, I'll use, you know, like.
I mean, you're already talking about like, "Oh, I have a bad feeling about things." Like, right. I don't know. Like, just, yeah, why not just say, "I'm literally talking to the two witnesses right now."
Right now.
And she'd be like, "Oh, my bad. Okay, let's talk
to I'm talking
later.
To those two very important boys. And I'm about
covered
to
in sackcloth.
And I'm about to go find our good friend, if you know what I mean. But no, he's like, "Bitch, shut the fuck up."
And I'm like, Chloe gets like kind of irritated with him.
Yeah, like, "I don't know why you can't talk to me."
Yeah.
"So, well, you are written poorly, and your husband doesn't know how to communicate.
It's so crazy because it feels like he's like almost brushing her off when he's already like, why doesn't he say like, you know what, I also had that feeling, and like validate her, like, mm-hmm. no, your point on this doesn't matter, I was already doing that, and like, why are you bothering me right now?
Right, he could have praised the damn Lord at him bringing the damn backpack, but he chose not to. I just don't know why he wouldn't be nicer, but I really think that there's a lot of like, I'm just gonna say it, age play here.
Like, he, like, really thinks that, like, Chloe's, like, a stupid little girl mm-hmm. still. Even though he, like, talks about her being smart and stuff. But it's, like, he, deep down, he's like, well, I'm still the smarter one. I know what's going on. And you're just a little lady at home.
Yeah.
With your messed up leg or whatever's wrong with you. I forgot what her injury was.
She got Jurassic Parked, but I don't remember.
But I don't remember how much way.
I think she has, like, a broken rib and ankle.
I think an ankle or something. So, Bug's like, I'm too busy right now. I gotta, like, talk to the freaking witnesses. And Buck has a moment where he's just like, man, I don't know how to deal with all these visions and dreams and shit. This is crazy. And he literally, like, specifically thinks, I just wish they didn't have to be so cryptic.
Right.
Like, which is always my thing, too. It's like, yeah, God, why are you playing these games?
It's,
say what you fucking mean, bitch.
Like, I get the vibe of you need faith. I get it, whatever. But this is very silly. He is basically like, I don't know what to do, and I'm pretty sure this guy's an important guy, and he's your friend, and you're yelling at me? But the witnesses, after the phone call, just start screaming.
Yeah, they start like hooting and hollering, and then like a crowd gathers.
Right, because they're doing their normal thing.
They're doing preacher mode.
And they're kind of doing the vibe of like passing the lyrics back and forth, and a lot of it feels like it's pointed towards Buck, but it's not. And Buck has like a couple funny thoughts, like, "Well, this is getting nowhere. I can tell there's something helpful." And just he's like, "I gotta go." Whatever.
Yeah, he really just like kind of like just leaves like partway through.
I just think it's so interesting that I don't know, like lowercase I interesting where that Buck is able to say, "I can tell I'm not going to get anything more useful.
I've heard enough. From these witnesses." I do want to point out, so when the witnesses go back to doing their normal preaching, they talk about two things. Number one, they talk about prophecy and mm-hmm. like God pouring out the Spirit onto his people for prophecies, right. Which is like, well, obviously this has kind of just happened with Buck and Chloe. And then they start talking about the whole, like, Jesus gathering the disciples and that they're going to be that they're fishermen and they're going to be fisher of men.
Right.
Fishermen in a boat?
I wonder
if that'll come up.
On the damn sea?
In Galilee?
I think it was literally Galilee.
Yeah.
And then Buck does walk up to them, too, and they're like, bitch, chill. And I think they said, like, it wouldn't be good for you to get closer. And I thought it was really interesting because, like, the audience screamed at him, you know, that was also out there.
Don't do it!
But the witness is like, you don't want to get close to us either.
Oh, come on. We know that you're, like, a chosen one of God, but we will not hesitate to absolutely blast your ass with fire.
A scared puppy. I will bite you.
I will bite you
so fucking hard.
Yeah, I mean, they're like prophets and such, but Buck needs to know his damn place.
Yeah, and maybe
stay back with the crowd.
You know, and maybe they're setting up regarding like the visions and shit like that, how they're going to, I don't know, have characters get through some real dang
sticky situations,
hornswoggles and such.
Whoa, what a word.
And it's a Bible book, so therefore it makes sense. But it makes sense that the Lord would pour himself upon them. But I thought it was good that they, you know, chapter and versed it. And then, like, yeah, actually, in these days, this is what's going to happen. And then later, Buck makes a joke about, like, he's thinking about it. And is like, well, I had that dream, but I'm not an old man, am I? What are you talking about? I know you said old men have dreams and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, I think they're talking about something else, but they're taking it as obviously
the way that's like, your young men and your young women will see prophecies and your, you know, young men and old men will see dreams. That's actually just a like a way of writing at that time where they like kind of balance things out. Like they'll include like two sides of something, or they'll repeat the same thing in a different way. Mm-hmm. So that's just sort of like a Bible style of writing in general. So it doesn't mean like
you're calling God a liar.
I'm bringing up the you know, literary conventions of the past. It doesn't literally mean like only old men have dreams and only young women get prophecies.
Sick joke though. Sick joke.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
But our first young woman getting a prophecy, that's Chloe, baby, that's girl. Right. And you were rude to her and you didn't feel bad enough, but you did kind of give her props about it.
And he's like kind of in a pretty stressful situation, so I'll give him a little bit of lenience. And
that's the sort of funny thing too, is like, it makes sense that he's curt with Chloe, right? That he's kind of snappy at her. But I wish they would have thrown a line in, like, Buck couldn't control himself because he was about to shit his pants.
He should have, like, it should have been like, I'm sorry, sweetie, I love you at the end. Because, like, as you said, like, you could die at, like, any time, bitch. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, be nice.
You could
hear to your decades younger wife.
You could hear the eye-rolly in how it was written.
Yes. So Buck leaves the witnesses and he heads towards the river? I didn't really quite understand, like, where. He's going through the water, and I don't know the geography of Jerusalem. I'm sorry. It sounded like there's a river, and they were going up the river to go to this lake.
Right. It seems like the river is between Israel and Jordan of some sort. And since the Sea of Galilee doesn't exist anymore, but there is a lake. What is it, Tiberias?
Lake Tiberias, yeah.
So the plan is, I don't know what to do. But I will just take a cab to there and hopefully get a boat and let the good Lord, you know, take me. The damn wheel.
Which seems to be working out because he immediately meets a boatman named Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got like a legitimate ass like wooden rowboat, but it also has a motor in it. I think they talk about it. They basically like have it set where it's like, yeah, we row it and it looks cool, but it's got a motor in it.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if they were just being like, this guy is a smuggler, slash, we throw in a little dirt for the jingoistic tourists.
Well, that's kind of what the vibe I got, where they're like, oh, like we're going on an old tiny boat to like do tourist shit, but we've also got
all of our grandparents have been on Michael's boat and taken a picture with him. And like,
right.
Could you be a little more dirty? I thought you would smell like fish and things of that nature.
Exactly. So Buck is able to, Michael lets him on the boat, and they start going up the river.
I like how much they pointed out that, like, after Michael was like, I can fit so many guys on here, yada, yada, yada.
Like, well, it's just the me, so.
And then Buck's like, might as well fucking paid for 20 guys, what the fuck? But then again, he is taking a boat at, like, 2 a.m.
Right. It's not, like, that's shady. Yeah. Like, so, you know, you got a little shady premium on there.
And they're like, Michael would not say his last name, but, you know, with a little bit of premium, he would take me on the river.
Right. So after they've been on for a little bit, like, Buck is talking to Michael, and he confirms. Michael's basically like, so, let me get this straight. You're looking for someone, but you don't really know exactly who you're looking for, and you don't know where they're going to be.
Right.
Okay.
And it feels sort of like these tourists, they're zany, and Buck goes into super prayer mode, and he, like, feels, you know, a sense of the Lord on him, and then all of a sudden, all of the lights turn off.
All the lights, and like, the engine stops, and it's, like, quiet. The engine stops,
instant quiet, and at first, like, oh, the Lord is so powerful.
I thought that's what was happening first. I thought, like, oh, it's guiding him to, like, the spot where he's gonna be.
And then
No. Michael draws a gun on Buck, and is like, bitch, I will kill
he's like,
your ass.
It's, your eyes haven't adjusted yet, but when you do, you realize I have a high-powered rifle trained upon you. And, I remember being in the fucking Dodge Caravan in the back, probably playing with my Dragon Ball Z figures on the way to visit my sister in college, listening to these books, and I remember this part vividly. Maybe it was in the Astro van. It was definitely some sort of van. I'll tell you that much right now.
That feels like the appropriate venue to be hearing this story for the first time, honestly.
It was
playing with Dragon Ball Z figures in a van as you're being driven by your parents.
Yeah, it was such a whole fuck, what's happening moment. Because our main character has a gun drawn on him by someone that we don't know, right?
Right, and you're like,
it's not
shit.
A Nikolai, it's not a global community guy. It's like, who is this motherfucker?
It's a random guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the random guy is like, hey, just FYI, I have already killed two I have already shot two people in the head in the past 48 hours with this very gun because I believe they were enemies of God.
It's like, you just murder them? Like, yeah, just throw them in the river and then the dead seed takes them and shit like that.
Oh my God, like, that's fucking crazy, bro. You just are like, yeah, I've killed people.
I'll do it again.
What is this, a damn Sopranos? Taking someone out on a boat to kill them? So Michael, he does, like, it's like, obviously he's trying to feel Buck out.
Right.
And see what's up with him.
And he's like, tell me what your name is and who you're looking for. And it's like, well, if you're trying to find the person I'm looking for, then I don't want to help you.
Yeah.
And Michael's like, well, vice versa, dumb bitch.
Yeah, come on. So first Michael's like, all right, let's play a little 21 questions here. and he drills Buck on info on whoever he's looking for to see if they are on the same page about who it is. And this is very funny. This is where they go into the, like, is he a female? False.
Is he young? Not compared to you.
Yeah. And then this is where he's like, is he bilingual? And he says, false. And he, like, cocks the gun. He's way more than bilingual. He knows way more languages than that.
Yeah. This, I mean, right? Like, interpretations, maybe... bilingual to him was like he speaks many languages himself.
He speaks one and other languages. Yeah, like bisexual.
He's panlingual. Thanks.
He's panlingual. and finally, like, Michael's kind of like, okay, I'm just going to point out, you should probably just tell me your name.
Yeah, and he, like, puts the gun even harder against him.
Because he's like, listen, let me just tell you what's up.
Yeah.
If I am on your side, then I should know your name. If I am against you, I'm just going to kill you anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well just tell me.
All roads lead to me killing you.
Yeah.
So you might as well, if like, I'm not on your side, you're going to die regardless. So you might as well just get
give it
out
a try.
Give it a try, baby.
And Buck's like, damn, good point. Damn. Okay.
I love the Lord.
I love the Lord.
My name's Buck.
Yeah.
And please don't hurt Zion. And he's like, oh, thank Christ.
So he does tell him that. And then Michael has one last test.
Yeah, of course. Gotta nail it. Gotta nail it home. One last test, if you don't mind. Quickly list for me 6 prophecies of the Messiah that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ, according to the witnesses who preach at the Wailing Wall.
This killed me.
It was
like,
so funny.
Oh, you're a Christian? Name 6 prophecies.
Then. Yeah.
You're a believer?
Name 3 albums.
Name the top 10 prophecies.
Name a song.
Jesus is the Messiah.
Yeah.
But obviously Buck passes this. Buck's like, oh, easy peasy. I know, thank like Christ, hundreds of prophecies about Jesus.
And, you know, it makes more sense. It's dealing directly with Ben Judah, but still. Funny stuff.
No, it's great. And Buck passes the test, and the dude immediately, like, gives him a huge bear hug while laughing and crying.
Yeah, that was so good.
There's a lot of crying in these chapters.
A lot of tension-breaking moment here.
A lot of, like, men weeping.
He's like, I don't want to kill you, but whatever.
Like, I will, though. I've done it. Don't worry about it.
Protect my boy.
So now that Buck has passed the test, Michael starts to explain who he is.
It right.
Turns out,
and what the whole situation
is. Yeah, what the whole situation is. And turns out Eli and Moshe, the witnesses, are Michael's mentors. And he was like one of the first people who were part of this 144,000 converts.
Indirectly at that stadium tour, you know.
Right. Judas Stadium tour.
Shout out.
Michael also clarifies that he's like, yeah, remember how earlier I said I killed 2 dudes? I don't think that's murder. He like clarifies it like, yeah, I did kill 2 guys and I think it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like it's the first character that, you know, draws blood on God's side from our perspectives. And Buck is like, okay. And he's just like, yeah, they're good. They wanted to get Ben Judah. And they wanted to hurt him, ergo, I killed them.
Which I think is hilarious because in the first book, wasn't Buck, like, feeling bad about lying
right.
in service of God? It's like, okay, lying in service of God, we don't like that.
And
murdering, yes, we love it.
My slight memory is that, like, our main tribulation force doesn't quite go as G.I. Joe as, like, their compatriots do. But I don't really remember. Like I said, the other memory I have is Buck firing like an AK-47 off the walls of Jericho or off the walls of Jerusalem as they fall on top of him. Book ends. But that being said, I don't know that they up until like even after they get the mark of the beast with like, guys, once they get the mark of the beast, they can't go to heaven. Like,
yeah. Let me just kill him. Let's just kill him.
And they're like, I don't know, man. It seems fucked up.
I want to be in Buck's perspective in the book so bad when he, like, has to slit someone's throat. Yeah. Like, stab someone in the back.
Hold them. Yeah.
It feels all the little bones in their neck.
There's, like, one time they have to, like, break a dude out of the global community because, like, one dude is forced to get the mark of the beast, so he's able to
stay within the...
Because they're, like, pretty... It's much like marrying two women. Like, we're pretty sure you're fine in heaven because you didn't choose it.
Right.
It was forced upon you.
So it doesn't count.
But because of that, he's able to, like, stay in the crew for longer. And I think they do have to kind of get pretty sicko mode to get him out, if I remember correctly at all.
I'm going to be pissed if I don't get Buck killing someone in his viewpoint at some point in this series.
But also, like,
and I would like Rayford to do it, too.
It gets pretty intense where, I don't know, it's just pitch black for a month. So it's like, maybe you can scoot out in between the fucking chariots and when there's blood everywhere. Who's to say?
Oh, man. So Michael then, like, now that he knows that, you know, Buck's on their side, again, he starts to tell him everything. Mm-hmm. And he explains, you know, they've been hiding Ben Judah from the Zealots. And I wanted to have a moment to talk about this, because I think it is very interesting and very indicative of the writer's viewpoint that all the good Jews are converts to Christianity.
Yeah.
And the bad ones are zealots. Yeah. And they're like, the zealot. And to me, you're saying zealots, but what I'm hearing is Jewish people.
Yeah.
And it makes me uncomfortable. Like, I just feel like that, again, that just is that underlying, like, anti-Semitism that comes with even though Christianity.
I don't see the zealot part as that. I see the zealot part as, let's just put it more broadly, any brown person in the Mideast that kills someone.
But they're talking about Jewish people being mad.
Well, no, but, like, zealot is used, like, in that context most often.
True, but so, like, here they're talking about Jewish people specifically.
Right, and I'm saying they're being lumped into the whole, you know, mind virus there. Because, like, again, zealot is bad, but Michael killing people is
that's
good.
That's fine. Yeah. It's just...
Even though zealot is, like, should be good.
Right, because they'll sometimes use zealot as a good thing.
Right.
In Christianity.
But usually not. It's usually, you know, Muslim people.
Right, right. So it's just, I don't know, the way they say things so that they don't seem like they're saying something really bigoted is just interesting.
Yeah, it was a different time. 1997 was a hell of a time.
I think it's less about the time, and I think it's more about the way evangelicals view Jewish people and Judaism. Like, I honestly, like, I feel like, and we've talked about this before, like, I think evangelicals are always like, well, Jewish people are, like, almost Christians. Mm-hmm. And we could, like, make them be Christians.
Right, right.
But again, then they'd be good.
Yeah, but again, I think it's the whole... these people take people out of their house and chop their heads off.
It is, but they're writing that though. So they're framing them intentionally as zealots and crazy people.
Right. Because they're now that they have all of the signs ahead of them, you no longer have your good, interesting Jewish protection anymore. You're now just a Middle Eastern person with an AK-47 and a knife. Congratulations, you're like the rest of the area.
Yeah.
And we changed the way we speak about you now.
We also find out that Ben Judah's faithful driver who was killed was not a believer.
Oh, he's in hell.
R.I.P., you'll burn forever in hell.
I feel like this is
Even though you, like, helped Ben Judah escape and you did something good, but it doesn't matter.
I feel like he's your number one candidate to, like, yell at God like him.
Really?
Really?
But, like, for real, though. It's like, that doesn't count for anything. Like, nothing. Like, that's crazy.
Works don't do shit, Jennifer. Read
it's
the
so
Bible.
Stupid then.
Read
it's
the Bible.
Fucking stupid. I'll just get saved Bible. And then be an asshole forever.
But what if your car gets blown up? Oh, I see. You get saved first.
Yeah,
but
no, like, be a dick
again,
forever.
The heart. You wouldn't be a dick forever if you loved the damn Lord.
But it's so stupid. It makes me mad.
And if don't Google anything a church or a Christian has ever done.
Don't.
Or else you'll be like, wait a second. How can you be a religious person and do that? Or support that. Or give money to that.
Michael also lets Buck know, like, yeah, Ben Judah not doing super
great.
He's pretty much just been crying since we took him away.
Him only wanting to be in the fetal position was actually kind of helpful for when we had to smuggle him out. But
yeah, it was pretty good.
Now it's awkward.
Get him in, but he won't stop crying now. So Michael then explains, basically he's like, oh, so, well, welcome. You're the deliverer we've been praying for. Buck's like, what? Me? Excuse me?
No, I'm just here to help. Like, no, we did our part. It's your turn. You, hot potato, you get the boy.
And I feel like this is where you can tell that the witnesses were doing some, like, Bible verse to say this. Like, the deliverers come.
Right.
Which, the Bible is clearly, like, about the Messiah or Jesus. And I'm like, I don't love Buck. Like, them using this, like, Jesus Messiah verse to be like, this is basically Buck. I'm
yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah, we're going to have some white savior stuff. But, yeah. You know, if you think about it, they got to get out of there. And they need the power of that
white man. The power of the white man.
Illinois.
Yeah. But Tim, when Buck realizes that he's going to play this role, he immediately goes into shame mode. He's like, yeah. I'm a worm. How could I possibly serve God?
Perfect. Yeah, because he's like, yeah, I was kind of cool with it being around and, you know, feeling the spirit. But, like, I don't want to be the one in charge. I'm like, bitch, you're 50% of the main characters of this book series.
Do you not understand this?
Get it through your stupid little head.
But I do think it's really interesting because it's like they put Buck up on this pedestal, and then he immediately is like, no, I'm a worm.
And I think
he's gotta keep you in check.
Yeah, I think it's a decently wise way to write literally any character in any book, right? Like, man, I'm just a damn Harry Potter. What do you mean I'm the boy who lives?
Me?
Man, fuck. I live under stairs.
So they start to discuss now, like, how they're gonna get Ben Judah out of Israel, because that's the thing. Like, he's wanted, people are trying to kill him.
Right.
And Buck and Michael and the rest of the boat boys are like, we've gotta keep this man safe, and the only way to do that is to get him out of Israel. They don't know how they're gonna do this, because he's being looked for by, like, everyone.
Right, and the longer he's gone, and if they do anything too shady, it's gonna, you know, make the whole accusations even worse. Even though it probably doesn't matter, because they're just going to try him and shoot him regardless.
Right. But Buck is like, man, like, how the hell am I going to get him through customs? Like, how's this going to work? And that's where Michael's like, supernaturally, of
magic.
Course. Magic!
Magic. Just do it.
And since we're talking about magic, Buck's like, maybe I should bring up that I had this dream that I think is from God, that he wants me to go to Egypt. And Michael's like, okay, well, you should probably listen to that.
Right.
It seems like a dream from God. And Buck realizes, he's like, I gotta get in touch with my best buddy, Ken Ritz, the pilot, to try to make this crazy plan happen.
Yeah.
Buck and the boat crew finally, they've been on the river this whole time, or going into, I don't know where, they're on water, and they finally land, where they've been, you know, targeting. I love this little part, because Michael's like, all right, jump out of the boat and just try to jump as far as you can. And Buck, like, falls in his own shit by the boat.
I was like,
very funny.
Did this need to be needlessly that complicated and stressful?
It didn't. But I like Buck almost getting clobbered by the boat.
Yeah, that was good.
I do.
Jump, run, and don't get hit.
Just like, don't.
Okay.
I do like when they make Buck look fucking stupid and like a buffoon and he tries to do things. I do think that's good to like keep him in check again.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And yeah, they walk for 5 kilometers after this and they finally arrive at the hidden underground bunker.
Woo! Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Chapter 11.
So we pick up immediately where we left off from the previous chapter, which, you know what? I'm okay with in this chapter mm-hmm. because the chapters are good. Weird yeah. how that works. I'm like, weird. It's fine. Buck enters the shelter and he has like, damn, there aren't any bed or pillows here. He's gonna have nowhere to lay his damn head.
Damn, that's like
that Bible verse.
It's like that damn Bible verse. I love the idea of like, we gotta bring beds and pillows and blankets. Like, no, Bible. We can't do it.
Yeah, no. He needs to fulfill some. He needs to like fulfill some prophecy, even though yeah. that was about Jesus.
Love
like,
it.
I don't know. So Benjamin is in the dugout. It's a dugout too. I think I said bunker before because that's what the impression I got at the end of the last chapter. Yeah. And then they're like, no, let's not call this a bunker. This is a dugout. This yeah. is like a little cave in the ground.
Yeah, they definitely are in mud mm-hmm. at times. It's not very tall.
Yeah, this is a little dirt zone. Mm-hmm. You know, Ben Judah is in there rocking and crying in the corner. Which, like, fair enough. Like, this was very traumatic. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how many days it's been since this happened.
Right.
But regardless, like, your wife and stepchildren getting beheaded because of you, I would also be rocking and crying in the corner.
Yeah.
So, fair enough.
Yeah, and he's extremely thrust into a biblical war
yeah.
between supernatural beings, and that sucks for him.
One thing that they do clarify here that I was curious about, Benjuda does say, yes, my wife and stepchildren were also believers.
Yeah,
I was like, maybe they weren't. Yeah. And that would make even more sense for him to be super upset. Because now I am kind of like, but you're, like, gonna see him again, so...
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying that, but, like, literally, it's like, okay, at the worst, you'll see them in, like, 5 years.
Mm.
Am I wrong? Like, I'm just saying, like, you know, you're going to the mm-hmm. same place. Mm-hmm. Like, 5 years? That's not
sure.
that long.
Sure.
I just, like, I don't know. I'm just questioning the logics. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not logical to
yeah.
miss your dead family.
Yeah, we need to get, like, a sound effect whenever Jennifer's like... It's irrational to be sad that your family's dead.
I'm just saying, like, they're just up in heaven. It's like, whatever. Like, why are you so sad?
What are you doing? Who cares?
Yeah. Well, okay, actually, to this point, though, Buck is looking at Benjuda, you know, weeping and snotting and everything, and he's like, yeah, he's grieving, but literally, quote-unquote, not as the heathen who have no hope, because that's a Bible verse, too. And I do, like, I love that, like, we're not heathens. We're going to be in heaven, so, like, fuck those guys.
Well, I feel like they put it in there just to respond to you, Jennifer, of like, yeah, he's sad, but he's not sad in, like, a gay way. He's like, no.
I wish you guys could see the face I just made.
He's sad in a normal Jesus-y good way.
But like, you're not a heathen and you do have hope. So why are you crying so much?
It's even though you are grieving and you have hope, it still hurts because it's called being a human with human emotions, Jennifer.
This is illogical. So, Vegeta then, I guess he stops crying long enough to talk to Buck, and he tells him a little bit more about his escape. This was another part that I was like, this was written by not a Jewish person.
Right.
The writer has Benjuda saying, I'm gonna let Tim read it.
All right, I'll be fine. I threw on a ridiculous disguise, the long locks of the Orthodox, even a phony beard.
You're really good at you would do well. I guess he's
that comma is doing a lot of work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah. Like I don't know. I don't like being like Orthodox looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
It made me feel weird. Yeah, I don't like that.
The comma is not load bearing enough.
No, it's definitely not. But again, that's another one of those where I'm like, well, this was clearly written by evangelical Christian
yeah.
because they're like, oh, these wacky guys. Like, can you believe I was so crazy?
Yeah.
I'm like, is he a rabbi? Like, it's not like I don't know. It's not that much crazier.
Right. And I do think you can throw on a ridiculous disguise without, you know, the thing for which you're disguised as being ridiculous. But it's like, but I'm not that. But let's be realistic. That's not what they mean.
I'm just saying. It just all the little things build together mm-hmm. to a certain picture.
Mm-hmm.
So Benjuda also admits here, he's like, I'm not just sad about my family being dead because I'm going to see them in 5 years. I understand that's illogical. He said that in the
book. Dear Jennifer.
I'm just kidding. But he's sad about his family, but he's also very sad about like leaving behind his various books and Bibles and such.
My tomes.
My scrolls.
Yeah, because he's like, do you have a Bible?
Please. imagine Bo's like, oh, I have a computer. There's a fucking Bible on it.
It's an analog Bible. Gross.
Yeah.
Is it in Hebrew? No.
No, sorry, bro. I can't read that shit. So.
It's just like the Lord wanted it and needed it. KJB, motherfucker.
That's right. And Buck's like, well, you know, I don't have it in Hebrew, but like that's definitely available. And Pinter's basically like, not for long.
I feel like they should be saying shit like that more often.
They should,
like,
absolutely.
Hey, think it sucks that we're in the tribulation. At least we have hot dogs. Like, well,
not for long. Not for long. Antichrist dogs.
Yeah, I guess at the end of days, hot dog is probably like a bad choice because pretty much you probably have to eat hot. Everything has to be pork.
I do feel like hot dogs will be very popular in the tribulation.
God, dude.
They'll probably be making them out of like chopped up people and stuff.
Well, I think they're going to make them explicitly as pigs they sacrifice on the temple.
Why not throw some people in there too? Just, you know, go Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Now, how do you think they're going to justify eating damn people?
Because he's the Antichrist.
Mm.
And he would do it just for a laugh.
You think it's funny?
He just do it as a little joke for himself. Uh-huh. We're eating people hot dogs. Do you think it's funny?
I could see Nikolai doing that with the Ten Kings to like, hey, to prove your loyalty, eat this guy.
No, he would crush it. No, he would grind them up so you don't know his people in there.
I don't know.
I
don't think my Nikolai would do that. Thank you.
All right, buddy. We'll see. So yeah, Buck lets Ben Judah use his computer Bible, and he's like, distraught that he like can't even like use the computer.
It's not funny, but it's really funny where he just
he's not real, so it's okay to make fun of him.
Yeah, and he goes full iPad kid mode, and like, you know, that didn't exist yet, but it's like. Give me a Bible. All my books got thrown away. I got a computer. Like, what do I do? It's not in Hebrew. What do I do? And Buck's like, I guess we'll just pull up YouTube.
Oh, man. Read the Psalms, bitch. I don't know.
Yeah, the Psalms are the YouTube of the Bible.
For the iPad kids. That's what you put instead of what's the Cocoa Melon or whatever. So instead of Cocoa Melon, it's just like, okay, read the Psalms. Like, I don't know. Just like,
I don't know what you're saying.
Cocoa Melon is like a...
You sound crazy.
No, it's real, people. What I'm talking about. He does read the Psalms, which just makes him moan and cry more.
Oh my god!
There's a lot of a lot of crying, a lot of moaning.
And we're making fun of it, but there is a little core of like, what do you do when something so bad is happening? What do you do when you're in like a hole?
No pillows, no bed, only dirt in the ground.
With like three dudes that don't speak English, two dudes that do but with an accent, and you're just out here. And Buck just keeps saying stuff because he doesn't know what to say. And I thought that was refreshingly human, right?
Right, because he's just like, oh, you want to read the Psalms?
And there's a certain bit of awkwardness that I think is refreshing. And yes. Again,
real.
Yeah, in a non-ironic way, right? Of like, it does feel real, and it does feel like sometimes the point is just to be there and just to say shit and to bring up the iPad YouTube videos, right?
Because again, like, this series is very stupid, but like, obviously, Jerry Jenkins, he's got a little something in the writing department, so he can tap into that, like, real human emotion every now and then.
The guy can cook.
I mean, again, like, I think back to, like, how sad Rayford was, like, thinking about his family and shit, and I was like, shit, I'm, like, actually feeling emotional about this. And it's you know, yeah, I'll give him his, like, slight props. He is able to tap into that sometimes.
Yep. Didn't expect it the way that they did it.
Yeah.
Especially between two men.
Well, and let me read a little excerpt. With his bent and nearly broken brother. Oh, can we, like, the alliteration? Jerry Jenkins. He's getting it.
Dude.
His bent and nearly broken brother sobbing in his lap. Buck felt as close to God as he had the day he trusted Christ. Okay, it's like also Buck being like, damn, I love God so much.
God,
man, this makes
here.
Me love God when my bro is fucking weeping and snotting all over my lap.
Jerry Jenkins.
About his dead family.
Got some fucking Stephen King cocaine and was like, time to go off on my typewriter. Jennifer's drinking a delicious beer.
Jerry Jenkins drank two Diet Cokes and got wild. And this is what happened. He got too hyper from drinking soda.
He saw the Lord through the fucking Matrix.
What kind of a soda guy do you think Jerry Jenkins is?
Like, I still think that they drink hard liquor.
Really? I don't think so. No.
Fucking, I don't know about Jerry Jenkins, but like...
I'm talking not Jerry Jenkins, the man who wrote this. I don't think so. No, I don't think they drink.
Really? Wow.
No, I really don't think so.
I assume they would drink a little when they're in the like fucking Lynchburg Illuminati.
I don't think so. No, these seem like the freaks who get really into like soda.
I feel like, oh God, yeah, like Jerry Jenkins drank a whole Baja Blast 2 liter that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying he's like, yeah, I could see him like pounding Diet Mountain Dews or like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, like RC or something.
He's drinking cheer wine. Yeah. I don't know where he's from.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I know, I really, because I sincere, again, like just having come from. Like,
does Jerry Jenkins drink?
I don't think I really would be surprised because like, I'm assuming he's from a similar background to the way I grew up and people did not drink. Like, it was not okay. So. Tim, I don't think you're going to find the answer to this on the internet, but I support you looking for it.
I Googled, did Tim LaHaye drink alcohol? And the first response is, Tim LaHaye is coming to town.
No, he's not. He's fucking dead.
He's dead. Hide the beer. The pastor's here.
I don't think they drank, man.
I don't think he got down. And I feel
like... Yeah, I think he's drinking fucking Mountain Dew. Can't win wilding out on it. Hmm. Like, maybe at most he drank a Red Bull. And I thought he was being sinful by doing
that. I think it's just like fucked up sweet tea.
Yeah, he probably was just drinking fucked up sweet tea. That's what my family was getting wild off of personally.
For some reason, even though I don't know that much about Jerry Jenkins, I feel like he's like a bourbon guy or a scotch guy.
Maybe he kept it. I don't know. Maybe he was.
He's like, I only drink brandy.
I think it's way funnier to get twisted on soda personally. So that's my headcanon for Jerry Jenkins. I'm gonna email him and be like, you drink alcohol? I think he's still alive. What if he emailed and asked if he drank? Did you drink alcohol while riding Left Behind?
Did you take some Stephen King cocaine?
Or were you absolutely twisted off Dr. Pepper?
Thank you.
The reason I was thinking about this more, too, is because I've been watching The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And Salt Lake City, I mean, like, Utah in general, like, you know, their beer is, like, lower percentage. And, like, I guess soda culture is, like, a big thing there. And they were, like, talking about it. Like, they have lots of, like, sodas and syrups and things. Because, like, they can't.
Right.
They can't have anything good. They can't have any caffeine, even. So they're like,
when people talk about, like, how destructive America's alcohol culture is, I agree with it. Until I see the fucking alternative.
You're like get out of here. You're going to drink a 3% beer? Stop wasting my time.
Oh, my God.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Anyway, well, guys, if you somehow know about if Jerry Jenkins drinks alcohol or not, let us know. Yeah, I'm on the side of he doesn't, but I would not be fully shocked if he did, but I just don't think he was. That's where I'm at.
Jerry Jenkins apologizes for being seen gambling in casinos.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is a dude that I don't think, like, he's apologizing for gambling. You know He's like, you know what? I think I'll have a second Dr. Pepper. I'll be a little bad today.
He likes to gamble, it looks like.
Good for him. All that Left Behind money, gambling away. So after Ben Judah, I guess, gets done crying in Buck's lap, Ben Judah leads the boat boys and Buck in prayer. And I don't know if we said, there are three boat boys. There's three boat boys and Michael. Mm-hmm. And then Buck and Ben Judah. So there's six guys total. And they're having prayer time. And Buck is like, damn, I feel so good now that we're praying.
Hell yeah.
I feel like I'm being borne along on clouds of peace.
What?
Okay. I think you're just having like an emotional experience and the ups and downs are causing you to feel this way.
Right. And that's the thing, right? Like, you know, when I was a Christian, I felt things such as, and it is easy when you're kind of testing the waters of not being religious. Like, well, what about these things? It's like, well. We evolved in such a way to feel good about togetherness and feeling like there's a higher power lifting us up.
And, like, anyone, you can get, like, worked up in any, like, group situation. Like, yeah. You can do a concert.
Afterwards, like, you know, the years since not being a Christian, Goku has done this for me many times.
I feel this every time I watch wrestling.
Yeah.
So, every time I watch a BTS concert, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, literally, like, I do feel like being at, like, a BTS concert is like, this is what I want church to feel like. I feel good, and I don't feel like a piece of shit after I leave.
Sure.
So there's definitely something about that, like getting your emotions all worked up and you know your brain chemicals makes you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening with them right now. After prayer time, Buck gets in touch with the Ken Ritz, and he's like, "Hey man, I'll meet you in Egypt. That's fine. I'll do whatever, bro." Michael, though, is like, Buck, you're being crazy wanting to go to Egypt. Even though, like, literally he was the one that told him not to ignore his dream. Like, Are you flip-flopping? What's happening?
Yeah, well, I think it's because Buck didn't know how to get to Egypt. So
he's like, I don't know the geography here.
Which is kind of dumb. Buck absolutely would have known the geography here. Yeah. But, like, Ken is like, well.
Not, I don't, but I'm a dumbass. So, and I'm not a whiz kid reporter.
Right, exactly. It's like, well, I mean, I guess if you're taking a boat, you have to drag the boat over the fucking desert. Good luck with
stupid
that.
Stupid bitch.
Dumbass. But, I don't know.
And also, Michael's like, yeah, dude, like, the border guards are absolutely looking for Ben Judah. Like, there's right. no way that you're going to get him across by any natural means. And that's when Michael does the, like, head tap and is like, but what if we wait for a supernatural act to make it work?
Right, because right now they're basically saying, we have no plan for this to work.
Nope.
But that's where my main man JC steps
that's
in.
That's right, we're waiting for our boy to step in.
Jesus,
the Lord.
Take the wheel.
Jesus, literally take the wheel.
Please.
Now let's have a quick Rayford interlude.
Yay.
This is the first of two phone calls that Rayford has. All that happens in this section, and he calls Amanda, and is like, hey, sweetie. I talked to Hattie. It was really fucking weird. I wish that she could come hang out with you guys to, you know, get Christianized or whatever. And then there is a sad little moment where Rayford's it'd be so great if she could talk to Bruce.
Oh, no.
He's fucking dead.
Yeah, because remember, it's only been a couple days.
Yeah, it's not been long.
It's pretty fresh.
And that, again, like, I do think, like, that is tapping into, like, a real human experience where you, like, temporarily forget, like, for a second that someone's gone, and then that, like, wave of like grief remembering because exactly. you're it's just like the pathways are not worn in your brain yet.
Yeah, no, that works.
That's good. I'll give old Jerry Jenkins that. And they're basically like, damn, I hope we find a new Bible teacher soon.
I didn't even catch at the time. It was like, Buck's literally smuggling one out for you, dummies.
Well, that's I actually didn't think about that either.
I don't know if that's what they're doing, but part of me was like, wait. Are they setting up Rayford to do it because everyone else is dead? But it probably been Judah.
It's probably been Judah. Yeah. That would make more sense. So now we're back to Buck of the Boat Boys. That might be the chapter or the episode title. Buck of the Boat Boys. this part is so good. Michael's like, you know, I've actually got this big nasty bus. It smells like fish.
It's fucked.
Would you like to buy it for me and try to cross the border with it? I think that rocks, just to be like, I have a boat that, or sorry, not a boat. I have a bus that fucking sucks. Do you want to buy it for me?
You want to buy
I can't believe he's making him pay him money for it.
Well, they are, that's part of the plan, is to pay money for it so it looks legit.
But how do they know he paid money or not? You can just give it to him.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, it doesn't make it, like, it,
later
okay.
they kind of yada yada it. But I think the implication is that, like, here's my $8,000 for my boat.
I mean, I was just thinking that, like,
my bus boat
kind of rocks on Michael's part and be like, well, you're gonna need to pay me money
for
it. Like, yeah, I'm serving the Lord, but you gotta pay me for my terrible bus that I have.
I got sodas to drink.
I gotta drink Dr. Pepe.
Well, it seems to be the implication is it's so that there's a clean trail.
Right,
and it doesn't
right.
look like Michael is inherently helping Buck.
Right, he's just like, no, I just happened to sell him my big stinky bus.
Yeah, I didn't need my big stinky bus anymore. It sucked.
It sucked. Like, of course I sold it to this idiot white man.
Yeah.
To drive across the desert in his bus. The boat boys also, like, because they're like, they don't speak English, but they like, are like, hey, we're like, what's this guy saying? And they're like, hey, does he like know there's probably a fucking ransom out?
Right.
Or Ben Judah, and, like, unless you can offer the, like, border guards more money than the state of Israel, it's probably not going
to
be good.
Right. It's, like, implying that they have to get in a bidding war with the crossing guards and or, like, the border guards
the
in Egypt.
IDF, man.
Like, well, because they basically say, like, well, Egypt, leaving Egypt's going to be better because it's not Israel
right.
who's actively looking for Ben Judah. And they take bribes. That being
right.
said, if you don't beat the bribe, if you don't bribe good enough, they're just going to sell him to Israel.
Right.
And then he's going to, and you'll get shot too.
And so. They're like, oh, and do you have $1 million on you? And he's like, what? No. I'm not. And they're like, don't all Americans have $1 million?
Yeah. It's kind of surprised Buck didn't have $1 million.
I do think that that's like a little bit of a thing that some people are like, wait, aren't all Americans rich? And it's like, no. We're not. But I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Like, that was good. He's like, what about half that? He's like, no.
No, bro, I do not have that.
Especially not on me. What the fuck are you talking about? Well, I was like, well, let's hope the Lord, you know, helps us.
Yeah, basically, at the end of the day, Benji is like, well, Yahweh is the God of the impossible, so let's hope for the best.
Good. I mean, that's just, yeah, their plan literally is like, well, if we die, we die.
Which, like, again, if you believe this shit's real, it is kind of like, well, if it fucks up, I'll just wake up in heaven.
It's God's fault. Yeah, if God's like,
God wanted that.
You didn't get my boy out. I'm like, you didn't get your boy out.
Yeah, that's your fault.
That's your fault.
That's on you, God.
I was vibing pretty hard down there.
I was driving my stinky bus.
Yeah.
Like, I did crazy. My part. So night is falling, and Buck and the boat boys are prepared to go to Michael's house. That's mm-hmm. where the bus is. And there's a discussion on, like, how to deal with Buck's, like, two sets of IDs and, like, who should have the IDs.
Kind of funny.
Because it kind of ended up, like, not mattering the end. Like, because there was this whole base of Buck being like, I don't know what I should do. God, please help direct me. And then, like, all getting their individual messages from God.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, being like, well, God didn't tell me that.
Yeah, like, God didn't say that to me. Part of it felt very much like in some sort of media where they kind of look at the audience and where they're like, yeah, we thought of this. This is why it doesn't work.
Right,
so
right.
We can't, because, again, Buck is using his Herb Katz ID, so he can't just give Ben Judah his Buck,
idea, right,
or but, vice versa.
But because also like, they're going to see the fucking picture on it and be like, you don't look like this,
right?
So there's a lot of back That's and forth on it, and Buck's like, well, I'm hearing from God that I should not have my ID on me.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up deciding that Michael is going to keep Buck's like papers and shit, and like. A picture of Ben Judah's family.
Right, because they're...
And he's going to mail it to them later.
While they're on the boat, Ben Judah takes the money out of his wallet, puts it in his pocket, and then, like, one by one, throws everything from his wallet into the river, which is, by the way, littering.
I was going to say it was very badass to do. It was be like, that's the old me. It's gone. It's in the river.
Yeah, and the way that, like, oh, is there anything better than throwing your past self into a river?
Goodbye, bitch. I'm someone else now.
No, it was written very badassly. Good for them.
Yeah, no, it was pretty sick.
And he finally, like, he gets through, like, his library card, and then he pulls a picture of his family and goes, oh.
Like, this is, like, literally, like, so cinematic. Like, I can see this in my mind.
That's why this whole section, like, stayed with me for so long. Yeah. It is so, like, well thought out, well set up. Like,
as like as an action story.
Yeah. Like literally, like, a scene.
Yes.
Scene dressing, so to speak. The mise-en-scene.
No, like, I hate to say it, but, I, like, as we've said multiple times, there are times we gotta give it up.
Gotta give it up.
Like, this is pretty interesting. Like, this is a page-turner.
Very scared boys going down a river in the middle of the night, throwing their past into the river. Baby.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So, they, like Jennifer said, they do kind of this, for me, needless back and forth. But maybe
it'll leave. Because it just, like, doesn't matter in the end.
Well, it might matter later. But because Michael is like, I'll ship you your picture and your ID later.
I really hope they do, like, keep up with, like, Buck received this in the mail later.
I feel like it's going to be like, hey, Buck, we found a dude with your ID. Here he is with a gunshot wound in his head.
Oh, you're totally right. And you're totally right. That's absolutely going to happen.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Michael's like, yeah, us four, we're not long for this earth. And it felt like such a more intense version of it than, like, we only have 5 more years left. Like, no.
No, I'm like,
we're staying in Israel as one of the 144. We'll die.
You know the zealots are going to get our asses.
Yeah.
Which, I also wondered if, like, the fact that he's named Michael is, like, is that something? Because, like, Archangel Michael.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's very, like, he's an important figure.
I kind of expected him to be like, my name's not actually Michael. I picked Michael.
I picked it. This is my new, like, cult name.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's, like, so interesting of them being, like, if the zealots kill me, I'll gladly die. It's like, for what? For what are you going to die for? Your religion? You're going to die for your religion? What does it make you? What does it make you?
Like,
what do you make you? Who did you kill?
And literally, you are a man who's killed people. You are a zealot, sir.
The
Come on.
The right has done such a good job of poisoning words and using the same poison that, and they're like, see, we can drink it. We can be zealots and it's good. But anytime we use it, it's bad. It's like, they're so good at that.
Yeah.
Hate them.
So while they're having this convo about like what to do with the IDs also, Vegeta's like, okay, listen, let me be real with you. I'd rather just fucking die and go to heaven. And this is again, like, so I'm just saying, like, yeah, that would be my point. Like, why don't you just kill yourself? Like, if you live in this world, just fucking kill yourself. I know, but I know it's because, and he says this, like, I can't. I want to kill myself, but I think God wants me to do some stuff. So right. I guess I got to stick around.
You have to stick around to try to save as many people as possible.
But hey, listen to this, though. Mm. Like, you already can get into heaven, and God's going to be like, I'm disappointed in you, but you're still in heaven.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter.
Wait. But
I'm gonna out-logic God in the end times.
Like, no, I mean, you should. God's like, no, I'm Catholic, and it's very bad to kill
yourself. Fuck! Bye. It sucks! I'm in purgatory now!
And you're not.
I didn't think this was real!
Yeah, God's real, and he's Catholic. It's so terrifying.
Oh, man.
Fuck.
There's so many fetuses here in purgatory. This is weird.
And come.
Yeah, ugh. But yeah, so Vegeta's like, yeah, I'd rather be dead and in heaven, but I think God wants to, you know, he still's got plans for me, yeah. So fine, I'll go with you to Egypt.
Yeah, and through the whole thing, it's very much Buck, like we said before, being stressed out about the plan not being very
like
good.
Like, being a plan, a real plan.
But earlier he had this, like, premonition, so to speak, of like, you know what, all the pieces in front of us, I had the dream. They did that. We, you know, we got the bus. It's fine. Whatever. But even then, it's like, fuck it. We're going to do what we're going to do. I'm stressed out.
Yeah. I mean, because it is like, you know, this is true in real life. It's like, you could plan and plan and plan forever, but sometimes you just got to, you know, take action.
And I think that it's, as a religious thing, it's very much like, you gotta trust in the damn Lord.
So Buck does a final last-ditch prayer to be like, okay, God, like, any last, like, you know, wisdom, any guidance, please? I don't know what the fuck's going on. And Buck gets this, like, overwhelming sense that someone's saying to him, I have spoken. I have provided. Do not hesitate. Basically being like, bitch, like, I've given you the tools. Just go.
Just go.
Figure it out. It'll be fine.
I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but take the stinky bus.
And Michael's like, oh. He, like, touches his ears, like, I'm getting a message, too, from God. Uh-huh. And it says, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Which I think is actually from the Exodus story, is my guess. I think that's the, like, I think that language is used in that story.
Okay.
Like, the pillar of fire
shit. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. So, like, between the two of them, it's like, you know what? Okay. Let's just move forward. It seems like we just got to take it on faith.
Right.
And, like, see what happens. And Buck says... Or he thinks, it was as if Buck had been steamrolled by the Spirit of God. The fact was, if God wanted Zion ben Judah out of Israel, he would make it out.
Tell him.
Which is, in this, like, in this world, it is like, all right, man, like, if you want it to happen, you'll make it happen.
There's only so much you can do, right? Like, plan as much as you want, but at the end of the day, like, if your plan sucks, it's because God wanted it to suck.
What is this, like, something like, plan something and God's got the rest? I don't remember what the saying is, but there's, like, I feel like that's, like, an old Southern saying of, like, do what you can, and if it's what you're supposed to do, like, God will take you the rest of the way. So, yeah, so Buck is stressed about the current, like, lack of a full plan. But Ben Judah reminds him, like, hey, man, like, when we're out of ideas, that's, you just gotta depend on God.
Mm-hmm.
See how it works.
Faith, baby.
Now let's have the second quick Rayford interlude. Another phone call, this time with Chloe.
Chloe, you bitch, shut up.
I mean, this is part of it so funny because she's basically just calling him and being like, oh my God, Buck won't answer his fucking cell phone.
And Ray's like, he's probably busy. And she's like, I can't believe you're on his side. And like, he's probably busy saving one of the most important people on the planet.
Yeah.
And Chloe's like, oh,
this sucks.
Boys, you suck.
No, I actually thought this, like, back and forth was very funny because Rayford first says, I wouldn't worry about Buck, honey. You know he finds ways to stay safe. And Chloe's like, Buck finds ways to nearly get himself killed.
Yeah, he's in danger a lot.
No, he's crazy.
He's crazy.
He's a crazy man, and Chloe's 100% correct.
He should have been a little more, like, nice about it, but Chloe, come on.
You're expecting men to be nice to women in this series?
That's a good point.
No, women are stupid.
I'm expecting a woman not to be annoying and stressed out. That's my problem, too.
So Buck and the Boat Boys, they make it to Michael's house. Mm-hmm. And we see Michael's wife come out with, like, mm-hmm. a baby. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, very stressed mm-hmm. and hugging him. And then Buck's like, damn, like, I probably should call my wife more. And, anyways. Oh, my God, this part is so funny.
Anyways.
It made me fucking die.
This was crazy.
Hilarious. Because I thought what the book was setting up, like, you know, the part with Rafer talking to Chloe, like,
yeah, you know, 2 pages ago or like half a page ago when Chloe's like, I just want to talk to him, I'm stressed out. And then Buck sees another wife and she is like nagging at Michael to be like, you need to talk to me more.
Like, tell me what's going on. Like,
so naturally, Buck says,
I was like, oh, right, my cell phone in my bag. Let me get it out and call Ken Ritz.
Great.
And he's like, I don't have time to talk to my stupid wife. Like, really, because I really thought this was supposed to be like a, oh, like, Chloe's having this feeling, and like, Buck is going to sense it because of Jesus reasons.
Right. It's so.
And call her and, like, reassure her, and it's like, nope.
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 It's so obvious. Crazy. Like, I think after sitting on it for like a couple hours, I'm like, I guess this was a joke.
I guess. I don't know.
It's not sold that way at all. It's
a really interesting choice to me.
It's kind of wild.
Like, because, like, why did they even have that, like, Rafer close? It's so stupid. And this is where I just think it's like, yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, I got to give it up. This is funny.
Yeah. No, I mean, Jerry's on something. Jerry is giggling at this.
I don't know if he is. Like,
he's patting his belly like, I'm a crazy one for this one.
I don't know. But regardless, it made me laugh.
I bet Jerry just drinks a fuck ton of black coffee.
Oh, and he's like twisted on, and he's like, if I don't drink 17 cups of coffee a day, I can't survive. Buck does make contact with Ken. And like, this part is also like so stupid because it's just like, you're so good to meet you in Egypt. Okay, cool, bye.
Yeah,
like, that's it. And like, they'd already like discussed this. Like, I don't even know why he needed to call him again.
It wasn't like Buck was on a boat for 2 hours or 3 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
You dumb.
So Buck sees Michael's wife, who the book describes as tiny, fragile-looking, dark-eyed thing, which I also didn't really like.
It felt coded.
It felt very coded.
But like, that's the thing, is like, they get so close. It makes sense based off, like, oh, that she's in a scary part, but it's like, they just take that extra little juice.
They gotta, like, other them.
They gotta other them.
And it's weird. And he tries to, like, get across, like, thank you for, like, the help that you and your husband and, like, friends have, like, given me. And she, like, speaks back to him in Hebrew. And the only thing he picks up is Yeshua HaMashiach, which means, like, Jesus is the Messiah, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. I expected them to translate it, and they didn't.
All right, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, no, we're good.
So Buck and Bijuda get in the stinky old bus and they head toward the Israeli-Egyptian border. And the final sentences of the chapter, he was on a journey that would lead him somewhere. Damn, big thoughts.
Yeah.
By dawn, he could be anywhere. Detained, imprisoned, in the desert, in the air, or in heaven.
Dude, they should end more chapters with, just to remind you, our characters could die.
He could be dead tomorrow.
He could be dead.
Yeah, honestly, these characters are fucking sick, though. Yeah. And like, what a great cliffhanger.
I don't remember. The funny thing is, I remember this more than how they get across. I'll say that.
I feel like I vaguely remember it, too, of like, okay, I'm going to make a prediction from my vague memories. Mm-hmm. I feel like what happens is, I think the soldiers, like, or the border people come on and, like, look, and they just, like, don't see him.
Goes full.
Yeah.
Like, Stormtroopers Obi-Wan.
Yeah. I think that's what's happened, but I don't remember. These chapters rock. They're very funny. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed reading them. They did not make me mad in the same ways that some of the other ones did. So
they're cooking.
I needed it.
Pure fuel.
I needed these chapters very bad.
Calorie rich.
Yeah.
And we didn't even get to like the part where they cross yet, which I'm sure is going to be crazy.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And there was like zero Nikolai Carpathia in these chapters.
Crazy.
Either.
Crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Maybe we have, you know, Chloe and they're being annoying, but, and it's all Buck. You know what I'm saying?
It's all Buck.
We hate Buck.
And yet, he was interesting.
Whew. Mama mia.
Gotta give it up.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here. If you want more other content, head over to patreon.com/contenthole. That is where we put things that are not just Tribulation Farce, but other things that, for which Jennifer and I are interested in. We shoot for a bonus episode a month, and I think we've hit it 90% of the time. Not always on time, but you know how it is. The Lord, it's a,
yeah, we're waiting for the Lord to move us to do things, you know?
He's acting in his ways, so to speak.
He's so mysterious, just like us.
Yeah, but having a lot of fun, I'll tell you that much. So very thankful to the people over at patreon.com/contenthole, but regardless, if you're listening to this, we're having fun. And even if you're not listening to this, we're having fun
anyway.
So, but just want to give extra heaps of praise because, like we say many weeks, you know, not a lot of people searching for this. So go ahead and tell your friends about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's an odd sell. I don't know if it's tough.
But I think it's honestly a very worthwhile thing to go through because I don't know who else is, like, reading through the Left Behind series when – as I've talked about, the Left Behind series has influenced so many people in the way they view the world and, like, politics. Yeah. Like, this is literally what, like, tons of politicians believe.
Yeah.
So I think it is very important to read through it and, like, understand, like, what kinds of mindsets.
Right.
Like, I actually just started reading a book about the John Birch Society. And Tim LaHaye was, like, very connected with the John Birch Society. And, like, the John Birch Society is, like, basically why our Supreme Court is so fucked up.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of overlap in, like, this group and the people who are making our country bad politically. So I think it's important to know about.
Absolutely. And it's kind of funny, too, just be like, we have to deal with the Christian Illuminati ruining our country. Right. And then we have to, like, read this, and it's, like, so goofy.
Like, wait, this is what you believe, you dumb bitch?
Yeah. We can laugh at it, but still, it's insane to believe. Like, I don't think the Lord of the Rings actually happened, right? So, whatever.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter at TribFarcePod, or you can shoot us an email over at TribulationFarce@gmail.com. Always thankful to get insights and behind-the-scenes things. Appreciate you. Well, until next time, like a thief in the night, we are gone.
Goodbye. This is where he's being... Sorry, we're staring at our cat.
He's doing the biscuit thing, but when Laser does it, he does like a freak.
It's like in a way that I don't like seeing.
It feels sexual.
Well, I think he like literally might be humping stuff, and and I tell him I don't like this. Please don't do this.
I usually kick him.
But he just stares me in the eye and continues doing it because he is disrespectful.
Yeah, that's an arch.
Yeah, I don't like it, Laser. I don't like it. That's nasty. Tim, stop looking at him. That's what he wants.
That's what he wants.
It's a freak. Our son is a freak.
He's been doing it for like 5 minutes.
I just don't look at him.
You well, he doesn't. He's not looking at me.
But I'm saying, don't look at him.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.